of the Laravel Podcast, Season 3. Today I'm talking to Lalit Vijay, the original founder of Laravel Live India, the co-creator of some great meetups there, and much more. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back to the Laravel Podcast, Season 3. Today I'm going to be talking to Lalit Vijay, who is known in a lot of different ways, but interestingly, just like some of my favorite guests, a lot of you probably have never heard of him before, and a lot of you think he's the most amazing person on the planet and can't imagine why anybody wouldn't have heard of him. And that's my favorite thing, where there's a community who knows him deeply and votes for him hundreds of times to come on the podcast. And then there's some of you who say, well, who's that? So I'm excited for a new opportunity to share with you somebody who who you didn't know about before, and afterwards you're glad you had the chance. So first of all, introduce yourself. And when you meet somebody at the grocery store, what do you tell them that you do?
Yeah. So hi, first to the whole audience of the Laravel podcast. I have been following it, and it's kind of great pleasure for me to be over here. Thank you, Matt, for that opportunity. And for me, I generally introduced myself as a backend lead and operation manager at style.me. And along with it, I curate meetups in India for the Laravel community, because I want this thing to grow and reach to across India in a really, really big way.
So if you meet somebody in the grocery store and they say, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm the backend lead of blah, 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 style.me. Do they say, I don't know what that is? Or because it's a product, do they more say, well, I don't know what that is, but what's style.me? Are you usually able to kind of skip around the conversation of what you do by talking about what you're doing it for?
Fun fact, what happened in my day-to-day routine is, we are the founding members of our startups, right? So we get pretty bugged up, and 80% of time I consume with either my teammates or meeting new clients and handling the backend stuff at the company. All my grocery and all that stuff is actually delivered online, so I generally do not go there.
Okay, so do you go to, I'm trying to think of a separate context. Do you go to the gym? Do you go to a coffee shop? When do you actually randomly meet people who aren't in tech?
At airports, whenever I'm traveling across India. And perfect. At that point of time, I start, mostly I talk around my product at style.me, what you do. And it's we build augmented reality applications, Snapchat for jewelers. Oh, that's a business and application. And then people start, and then I show them the product and actually make them try it on themselves. So yeah.
Okay. So is style.me, we can talk about style.me because I'm sure it'll come up again. Is it more something that your primary people you're selling to is the retailer, and then the retailer,
right,
do they get a white labeled version of it?
No.
Or are they getting, okay.
It's
so they're having their clients use style.me, but then pick them in style.me or something.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So you said you're the backend lead. So what I assume is that it's a primarily mobile app that's consuming probably something Laravel-ish. What does your tech stack look like in general?
So at Laravel, we use very different, multiple stuff. It's not just Laravel over there. So at style.me, the primary application runs on iOS, and where the real, our machine learning model runs. And so it detects your face, it figure out your exact ear points, your neck points, and overlay the items on that. Now to make it happen, what we use is, Firebase for real-time data, communication across all the devices. What we use Laravel for is primarily backend tasks for uploading all the inventory data, managing those inventory data, making sure that what should go live, what should not go live. So whatever the things which end admin panel controls is basically in the Laravel. Apart from that, we do a lot of data processing, image processing, and all that happens in Python. And so it's a bit of diverse. Laravel is one set of part of it.
Okay. And obviously I want to ask more questions about that, but usually what I want to dig into is who you are as a person. But again, like I said, since some people don't know who you are as a person, I at least want to lay the groundwork a little bit. So that's your day-to-day work. And you said you're a founding member of the startup. So how much of your work is coding, and how much of your work is organizational and people related?
Okay, so that's interesting. Initially, it was a lot of coding.
Right.
The initial 2 years was a lot of coding time. But now, I think 10% coding and 20% operations and managing people.
Yep, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing that you're actually probably more known for, at least in the Laravel world, is that you're the organizer. Are you the organizer or co-organizer? Is are you the primary person?
So how do I say Laravel is... Live India? Yeah, so I started it. But now what I always wanted from the community is that everybody is part of it. And whoever, each volunteer, each participant is actually organizer for me. So whether it is Fahad this year, Vishal... is putting a lot of effort. So all these people are the building blocks of the community. It's not something which I say that, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my community is doing. And they're helping me out.
I love it. That's a good attitude, man. So you are the original founder and now one of many organizers of Laravel Live India, which is a very large, and it's in its third year now, right?
Yes.
Laravel conference.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, if somebody's never heard of it before, tell us a little bit about the conference.
All right. So for Laravel Live, it's started because of just one reason that I didn't have enough time to visit your LaraCon EU or US, and I wanted those awesome speakers over here, so that more people can interact with them. And conferences not only just give you a space for knowledge sharing, but also meeting new people, which helps you expand your view of the community and help you grow in a very different ways. So that was the key thing, the motivation. And one day I decided that someone has to do it, so why not me? So let's do it. And then we did the first version of it. And the response was pretty good, and few people got job via that conference. And once very I heard cool. that, and that helped me like feel motivated further for it. That someone is getting benefited out of it. Right, that's awesome. Let's do it again. And now, after 2 years this year, it's pretty nice. Now we selected venue based on community vote. People selected for Mumbai for this year, and we are doing this on 3rd of March, 2019.
Oh, that's coming soon, man.
Yeah. So we have announced our speakers. We are preparing for it. And hopefully we'll see a lot of people, especially people. Freak is there. Then Nuno is there. Then Rumpel is there. So these are a few people from the community which a lot of people know. And then there are a lot of developers within India who are actively working out. And it's pretty fun to see be part of this whole community.
Very cool. One of the things that I think blew a lot of folks' minds was hearing about Laravel Nigeria being as many people as it was. Do you have an estimated count of what the attendance for Laravel Live India is going to look like this year?
This year we are doing 150 fixed. So the number of places is fixed.
And then you also are connected to, and I don't know exactly what the story is, but a series of meetups as well. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah. So before this conference, I started it as a meetup. And the first meetup was Laravel Live Delhi. And that was actually the first meetup got only 5 people. 5 people. So we started that small. And over the period of time, we have grown very much. And recently, we did a meetup in Ahmedabad, the first meetup, and there was an attendance of 70 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. Yeah, so it's the meetup, which started with 5 people, has grown to a 70 people meetup. And in terms of conference, on the first year, we had 60 people turnout. Second year, it was 110, and we are doing 150 this year. So going pretty good.
Now, is there, in any of the areas that you're doing this, do you have a big PHP community as well that's much larger, or is Laravel kind of really the main space where any of this work is happening in terms of community organization?
So I think with Laravel Live, now the Laravel community is growing. And how I see is that it's not just Laravel community which is growing, it's actually the whole coding community growing, right? People meet, learn new things, and the whole PHP space is growing overall. The biggest event I have seen in India with the PHP domain is World Camp for the WordPress.
Yeah, that seems to be the case most places.
Yeah, so recently it happened in Ahmedabad with over 1,000 people of audience.
Wow. So what is the biggest tech stack around you? Is it Laravel if people are doing the type of work you're doing, or are there other tech stacks that you more folks are focusing on?
I think I see a lot of people around me working around Python. So Python is kind of the, and that one kind of bias with me is I work with a lot of people who are into image processing, machine learning and all that stuff. So right. I find people who are mostly working in that domain, and website development kind of people are like not my core sort of thing where we look at.
Sure.
The main R&D at style.me happens on machine learning and image processing. Which is basically either C, C++, and Python.
I got lots more questions about that, but we got to pause because at this point in the podcast, I got to learn about you. So tell me a little bit about you. When was it that you first used a computer, and when did you first start realizing you were into coding?
In fact, the first time ever I got an opportunity to use my computer was in my school. I think I was in grade second, I was in grade second, and at that time we went to school. Teacher asked us to, this is computer, and at that time we used to have that bulky computer system with bulky monitors and all that stuff. And so from class 2 to class 6, it was just an object of fascination where when you whenever you go there, you love it.
Yeah.
Right? It's something cool. And what I used to do at that time is only play one game called Div, which I remember right now. Yeah, so after that, my real interest started into the computers was after class 7th. I started learning things. I made friends of my school teachers, and then I started skipping my lunch breaks and games periods into the computer classes.
Very cool.
I used to sneak into, but there was just one challenge. Till that point in time, I didn't have access to internet. It was computer without an internet. So the place where I live is one of the like remotest place in India. So my hometown is a place called Koderma in Jharkhand, and it's like surrounded by 30 kilometer of forest all around the middle of the place.
Wow.
So finding internet connection was a big challenge. But then I got in touch with one person who used to tuition me and tutor for my subjects, and he got a job at the district center of the place, and they had the internet connection there, the government district connection. And then I kind of asked him that, can I like spend an hour or something on that? That gave me an access to good internet connection. But after his transfer from that place, I came back to the same point, no internet access.
Right.
And during 2008 and 2009, India got a really nice kind of weak. I got personally an internet connection where I was getting a 2 kbps, 3 kbps kind of speed. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And I started learning from that. So
I feel like that's enough for like Telnet, and that's about it. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Yes. So that point, I was like super happy that I have my own internet connection, having 3 kbps of internet. In fact, I remember one incident where I used to, I had taken screenshots when this net speed was like 6 kbps. Like, yay, I got 6 kbps of internet speed.
Did you say 2008 or 2009 was when that was happening?
Yes, yes.
That's very recent for you to have almost no functional internet.
Right, because of that's a really remote place in India. And that point, I then again try to make more friends with the government people. Got a high-speed internet connection again. Spent a lot of time on YouTube. And then I started building a website for freelancing. And that was, for me, grade... just after I was in high school at that time.
Okay.
Yeah. And
how'd you learn?
YouTube.
Really? Like you just search on YouTube for how do I make a website, and people had tutorials there?
Yes. Yes. So I'm self-learner. So from my education background, I'm electronics and communication engineer, right? But yeah, coding has always been like kind of fascinating. It has always been actually easy, right? So that was easy task to do. So we did this. And after high school, I moved to Delhi for my engineering.
Okay.
And there then I experienced good internet connection.
So what year was this then?
Current net speed, we have in our office is a 1 Gbps connection, and at my home,
okay.
I'm having.
Sorry, I was saying, what year is it? But What do you have at home?
Okay, so I currently have a 10 Mbps connection at my home, so that works enough to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I moved to Delhi in year 2012.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Yeah.
So 4 years of slow internet connection, but after 2012, I did my engineering, and during my final year, I started my first startup. And we ran it for 2 years, then moved out of that startup. And yeah, now after that, I'm working on Style.me from 2016.
Okay. So what was the group of people who originally started Style.me? How many of you, and was there any funding, or was it just a couple friends who were starting this? What that story look like?
Okay. So after my first startup got shut down, I was complete kind of phase where I was thinking, what next in my life, right? After starting a company, you always try to find why things happened and whatever. And I met a really awesome girl called Meghna Saragui. And this girl individually raised a small seed funding round with very little money. I can say something like, you can say, it was 25 lakh rupees. It's $30,000. Right. Okay. So with that small money, she came from a different city, Indore to Delhi, with a prototype application on which she has raised that round, small round of funding. The whole team gathered over here. Our current CTO is currently a student, right? He's final year engineering student.
CTO or your original?
Yes.
He's still a student.
Yeah, still. Okay. Yes. So
just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yeah. So he is the founding team member also, and he is current CTO. And he started as we all started, and then we started giving tags to each other, and then he's now CTO, and I'm handling the operations. So that guy is was a very bright guy. Meghna was super passionate about the product, and she led the kind of vision to the company. Akhil is really talented developer, and he sold his first company for $100K in 2016 when he was in high school.
Okay.
And then he started built multiple applications, around 20-30 applications, and being featured in all the good magazines. And he's doing pretty good right now with us. And he is the kind of key person in building this augmented reality application on the iOS.
Okay. So of your team, what's the breakdown of web application developers versus machine learning type folks versus whatever else?
All right. So at web application, we have just an admin panel, and I handle that. Now we have added one more developer for that, and a rest. Kil Dhruva, me and Avinash put a lot of effort on machine learning and the Python part, and Akhil primarily take care of iOS.
Okay, cool. So one of the things that I always do when I'm going to be interviewing somebody is I ask everybody at Titan, do you have any questions that you have for this person? And sometimes they say, oh, I've always wanted to ask them this. And sometimes it's a little bit more, I'm just curious about this in general. So one of the questions that that someone asked was, of the folks you know in India, especially in the area around you, who do Laravel, and obviously that's not a lot of your team, but the folks you know from conferences, is it more common for people to be employed full-time, or is it more common for there to be freelancers? Is there a big freelance? Because we're noticing that that's something that we notice to be different depending on the country. So, for example, in the US, there's very, very few Laravel freelancers, but we've found a lot in quite a few European countries. So what's it like in India? And obviously, it's going to be different based on the city. So
yeah, I think India is a really vast country, right?
Yep.
So it's it's pretty different in different places. If you'll talk about Ahmedabad and all the tier 2 cities, you will find only the kind of people who are employed working on that. If you find in Delhi or Bangalore, you will find some good amount of freelancers too.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And that was kind of my expectation. It's a little bit like that in the US, but not as much as I would have expected. There's less and less freelancers around. And so one of the reasons.
Yeah, definitely. It's a challenge to find a
And one of the reasons they were asking that is, what does it look like when your startup needs to grow and you can't find enough folks to work? Are you doing training for people? What's that like for you?
So currently what we do is we hire people who have at least a year or 2 years of experience and then train them based on our
jobs. And the benefit is they get the training and you get someone who knows the things you want them to know. And totally understand that. All right. So one of the things that we were curious about knowing was we talked a little bit about how you got into programming, but what was it that first got you into Laravel?
So I was doing a lot of freelancing work between my high school to third year of college. So from like 2010 onwards to 2013. And during that time, I was working with multiple people. And I was mostly working in PHP Core and Code Ignator. And during that time, I was just searching across what's coming up. And one day I stumbled upon this Laravel and I just checked it out. How is it? And at the first glance, actually it didn't took off. When I came back, I think it was version 3.8 or 9, I guess, when first I saw it. And I tried it, my hand, and then I felt, okay, Code Ignator is fine enough. It works good for me now. And when I got my hand again on 4.2, it was like completely changed. And it was, wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. This is pretty nice. And then I started moving my projects on Laravel. And I built a multiple application for a few five-star hoteliers at that time I was working with. It was Ramada and Radisson. Yeah. So for them, I was working. Cool. So I built a few applications for their internal kitchen order management system. And that's how my initial Laravel experience in terms of real development came across. And then every new version, I started loving more. Because every 6 months, you had something interesting, something nice. And the whole community started. So with Code Ignator and the core PHP, what I was feeling from 2011 to 14, I feel like the community was like going downhill. Every year it was like slowing down. And there's nothing new coming up in the whole PHP ecosystem. And with this growing Laravel community, you feel that, again, we are getting some energy. People are talking about things. They are sharing stuff and they're building. They're not stuck with one version with the same base core and you don't know what next is going to come, right? So that excitement took me over and I completely ditched Code Ignator. And then I used Laravel for my first startup from the scratch. That was 2014-15. And we built the complete the front end and back end on Laravel. That worked out very well for us. And I think from 4.2, after 4.2, it was like never looking back in terms of it was like getting better with everything. Whenever I missed something, most likely it was going to come in next version.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So one of the other questions I got that I thought was really interesting was, could you think of any ways that developing Laravel applications in India, specifically with Indian audiences, is different than it might be somewhere else? Is there anything that you think that folks outside of India might not know about the context or the audiences? One of the things that someone specifically mentioned, I actually talked to Marcel Pozio, and he mentioned the fact that you had said that you have to think about scale a little bit earlier sometimes because there's so many people. Yeah. So that and anything else, are there any other aspects of developing in India that you think that other folks might not be aware of?
So the one thing which people think is, since India is like really diverse place and there is a lot of dialects, but still the major web development happens in English only. And you don't really need localization. I think in going few down years from here now, we will be seeing a lot of localization within the Indian community because a lot of new people coming on the internet and the rate and acceleration of growth of newcomers coming on for online consumptions is really, really getting big. Mm-hmm. It's like booming. And With that, I think more localization will come into the play. For right now, mostly it's the English, and the scale is the one reason, because you hit 10,000 users in like very soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so like if you have 10,000 users, you really don't feel like you've got anything until unless like 100,000, yeah. Right? So yeah, so I think the first time I felt that was we were doing a really small activity, and I wasn't expecting that how much traffic I will get.
Yep.
And my system shut down. That was completely on Laravel. And the moment I saw my what was the reason is my database sat down because the number of requests per seconds I was handling was too high. It was like 300 requests per second.
Yeah.
And for an activity with one influencer having, I think, 50,000 followers or something, mm-hmm. like everybody bugged upon at the same yep. time. I wasn't expecting that kind of response. So yeah, in India, that happens, that you can really hit the numbers really fast.
Interesting. Yeah. So yeah. Are there any things that you just think of on every new project that, you know, of folks without that context, you know, 10,000 signups might be a 6-month goal or a year goal for some folks. And for you, you say, well, I might hit that super early. Do you say, oh, well, here's one thing I do on every project that other folks might not have to think about or something like that?
So with us, we always set up the system with load balancer mm-hmm. and all the basic wireless installation preloaded. And with us, it has always been the case where we do, and then we start doing some out-of-the-box marketing activity. And for that specific duration, our users sort up like 20 times, 15 mm-hmm. times from the normal use cases, right? And at those cases, you really need to be aware. But in 80% of the cases, the growth is linear.
Okay.
Until yep. unless you are not doing. With us, what happened currently is we deal with a lot of enterprises, consumers, mm-hmm. right? And so like we are currently dealing with out of top 10 brands, we are working with top 5. So
got it.
The moment they start very small, like on few retail stores. And when they grow, your growth is going to be get like 10x once the pilot is done.
Right.
So you just need to make sure that after a month or 2 months, you are not going to get stuck because your the expansion or number of applications running simultaneously has grown 10x.
So what kind of things do you, what kind of tools do you use to be aware of when you need to scale? Like what are you using for monitoring?
Okay, so currently I use AWS CloudWatch a lot to track down all that stuff. And over here, since we are with the enterprises, consumers, we do have early on understanding, mm-hmm. right? That because with enterprises, you need to do a lot of integration and all that stuff before going live,
right?
Even after the pilots. So we do know a kind of base growth now we are going to have. And that's the kind of benefit of being a SaaS company with B2B clients.
Yeah.
So you have more predictability in terms of what kind of users you're going to see.
And do you rely, is CloudWatch enough to give you everything that you need? Like let's say you know it's going to happen, but you don't know, well, X number of users, what kind of resources they need. Can you get all that at CloudWatch or using a Blackfire, a New Relic or an Eyewitness or something like that?
So the fun fact about us is that for us, the end people who are going to use Laravel backend is very, very limited. Currently,
right.
we are just with 50 enterprises consumers, right? But they control almost 30% of the whole market's
yeah.
pie, right? So you exactly know the number of consumers they are going to sign up. So on the backend part where the main Laravel meet is working is really not that traffic
yep.
incent. The part where we have unpredictable kind of uses is the end consumer application, which is installed in the retail stores. That is completely not on Laravel
right.
at all. That's on Firebase, and the machine learning model is within the application only, right? Which we train and ship it
oh, okay.
with the application.
So yeah. is Firebase taking the majority of the... So, well, the machine learning, is that running on your own servers or is that in something like Lambda?
No, so we train our model on our own systems, and once the model is generated, we ship it along with the application.
Oh, okay. That makes more... So when you say yeah. the application, you mean the actual iOS application has all...
iOS app.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
the actual yes, calls yes. from the front-end user-facing application to the back-end primarily hit Firebase?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So With the Firebase, even so, since we are working with retailers with a lot of different places where internet reliability is not like constant, right?
Right.
So we work in a way where you have offline storage of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So from the last point of internet connectivity, you have everything there, and the application will run perfectly fine for you.
Got it.
The moment we get connected with a proper internet connection, we just sync the latest data for them,
mm-hmm.
and then so number of requests we finally make to our servers is very, very, we try to limit
that. Got it. Okay.
Because we need to make sure that it runs offline perfectly.
What is the tech stack that you're using to generate your iOS? Are you using Swift or?
No. It's a native C, Objective-C.
Okay, got it. I guess it makes sense since you're talking about using C and C++ for your machine learning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you, off the top of your head, is there one piece of technology that you predict is just going to get huge that you're really excited about?
AR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more. I mean, as your average developer thinks about that, what should they be prepared to be learning and thinking about?
So in front-end development, I think AR will change the way currently people are shopping, right? And if you see all the big players across the globe are playing and trying things to do in a right way,
mm-hmm.
right? And in India, what we see is all these retailers, the reason we, even after being a very small company in number of headcounts we call and the kind of startup we are, the kind of companies we are working with is like the biggest brand of the country, right? And the reason of that is the kind of innovation we are bringing on the table. So currently, the product we have is the only product in this world which can do real-time augmented reality for the jewelers. Mm-hmm. With such high precision.
Yeah.
So a lot of time we find that our model works better than what currently Snapchat has. And we have filed patents for that now.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So the kind of effort we are putting in terms of building the fine product for the end consumers and the kind of response we are getting from the end consumer is like really fabulous, right? So just now imagine, today you're sitting there and you have to buy something for your wife, right? And let's say you're giving a surprise to her. What you will do, you will go to a store and you will try to see, this might look good, right? But how are you going to try on her? What we do there is you just take her picture and put item on her.
I was just going
to
ask, right? Can I just hold a picture up in front of the camera?
Yes, yes, yes. So you just hold a picture of her she will be wearing the jewelry which mm-hmm. you wanted to buy for her. And then you can decide it much better. And this shift is gradually, I see in a like big way, everybody's asking us, please give us the web version. But we are not doing it because the kind of quality which we are getting on the web version is not up to the mark, the kind of quality we are delivering on the iOS native application, mm-hmm. right? So I see a lot of demand in terms of AR in every sort of company, from Amazon to this Tiffany, from this L'Oreal Paris, all kind of beauty, jewelry, all domains are like using crazily.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Did all the work that Apple did recently to improve AR in the most recent versions, did that really make a big difference in the possibility for it to be big in the future?
We were very excited about ARKit. That might help us a lot by reducing our work. But it didn't help it that much.
Huh.
It still requires a lot of work right now.
Okay.
The kind of output is not for the enterprises great right now.
Got it. So you think in a couple of years it might be different, but right now for someone to do something at your level, you still have to be doing most of the work on your own.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I've definitely had that same perception. All right, let me look at a couple of these other questions because we're running short on time and I want to make sure I get everything. If you get a day free and all of a sudden there's no work and for some reason you can't work, the internet's down at work, whatever, what are you going to go do with your time? Your favorite thing to do?
Okay, so I spend a lot of time while traveling or anything is listening podcast and reading books. And if not that, then most likely I did not get enough time to spend with my girlfriend, so I will do that.
If you don't mind me asking, what would your favorite thing to do with her? If time and money were no constraint, what would you want to do?
Just sitting in a silent place with a mountain with a nice view.
Okay, I like that. That's good. Cool. What are your top 5 podcasts?
Currently, the one which I really love is the one, since I'm kind of startup guy, I spend a lot of time on Master of Scales. The another one is Laravel podcast. Master of Scale is from if my Reid Hoffman.
Okay, I didn't know he had a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a really nice podcast, especially for the startups. Huh. The kind of insights we get is like really nice. And now let me just open my podcast. Okay, and then this is really nice. You might have heard this. Reply All.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Then there is a podcast by a company called Intercom. They have a nice podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
And then there is called The Knowledge Project. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know Knowledge Project. I'll make sure these are all linked in the show notes to everybody. But I can't believe that I didn't know that Masters of Scale existed. This I'm just reading through the site and it looks really fascinating.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thanks
it's
for
really
sharing.
Nice podcast.
Okay. I think I'm going to ask you one last question before we're done for the day. And my last question is, is there any either entrepreneur or technological person or any startup where you say that's who I want to be like? Those are the people I look up to, whether it's a single human being who's an entrepreneur or a single human being who's a technologist, or where there's a startup and you say, you know, they're doing it right. I want to look to them for how to learn how to do it right.
I think for me, the kind of like two persons, to be personally, like I take half trait from one person and half from another.
Okay.
And I really get inspired by both of it. One is a kind of Elon Musk in terms of kind of vision he sets for himself. Uh-huh. And the another one is Mark Zuckerberg. And okay. For him, the reason for that person is kind of, he know how to be in the business. He know how to like beat the competition set out of like you have seen Snapchat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, he definitely knows what he's doing. I've often said people say, well, why are they spending that money that way? And it says, well, you know what? Like, if you've got that much like fake money, you know, like that's just purely based on your valuation, go do things that are going to turn into real money. And that, you know, they made some good decisions there for sure. So. Okay, so if somebody is super interested in everything you told us about, obviously they're going to go check out style.me.com. I'll link it in the show notes if anybody gets lost finding it like I did. But how can they follow you? How can they keep up with you? And is there anything else you want to plug while we're on the podcast?
So for us, for me, I personally love to be on Twitter only. I do not tweet much, but I mostly love seeing how community do. And the reason I do not tweet much is I really spend really little time on social media because currently we are in a kind of growth phase of the startup and we are very, very focused on that. And that's currently like life to us. So yeah, so a lot of time goes over there. And the next thing, people can follow me on Lalit Vijay on Twitter handle. It's simple. It's Lalit Vijay. And what I wanted to know is like, people do check out Laravel Live India. It's really nice growing community. And if possible, just visit it and give it a try. It's you will love it. And I'm sure
that's
for that.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Lalit, thank you so much for your time. It was a total pleasure getting to know you a little bit. And I really do hope that I'm going to be able to come see you guys there one day. I hear such amazing things about it that I'm looking forward to being able to do it one day. And thank you so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you, Son. And I think I will try to get you next year on Laravel.
All right. Fingers crossed.